Okay, wing it, because we're good at that now.
Indeed.
Hi, everyone. See, nailed it. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Ozempic Diaries. My name is Jonathan Vanka, and I'm with...
Charlene Armstrong.
And it's the holidays. We're relaxed here. You know, we're not stressing. We're the kids are away from school. We're still working full-time jobs. Everything's great. Although my son is young enough that he's in holiday care, so he's just doing dress-up parties and movie days and all kinds of nonsense. But Charlene's got two full-time... I don't know, what are your kids doing during these holidays?
I'm mostly their snack bitch at the moment. So I'm just like in 2-hour increments feeding two tiny humans and I'm mediating fights mostly. We did take them away on holiday for last week. We were in the Bushveld, which was actually one of the first holidays where I didn't return feeling like I got my ass kicked. Because there was a lot of activities for them to do. So it's early days because this week we're back home and they still have a week of school holidays. So let me catch you up on the status in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, let's just see how much of a wreck Charlene is. But, you know, on the note about the holiday thing, obviously it's to the end of this July. That's why we're a week late because Charlene was away. I've been away. We went to Montague for the weekend and I came back lighter. I had wine. I had pizza. I had cookies with my biscuits with my coffee. You know, I committed sins and then tried to pay for them around that, you know. But it is probably one of the first holidays that I've just been away and not come back weighing 2 kilograms more. That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, that is cool.
Did you come back from the Bushvelds with extra Charlene or less Charlene?
No, I came back with less Charlene, but I was very mindful. Look, I did have chocolate on 3 occasions, like 2 blocks at a time. So in total, I guess I had 6 blocks of Lindt chocolate the whole holiday.
Wow, I feel like we're definitely on some kind of spectrum. Like when you remember exactly how many blocks of chocolate you had over a week-long period, like you're obsessed of some way.
Yeah, I didn't have alcohol, which I don't often have, but sometimes when we're away on holiday, I might have a drink to be sociable. But I don't know, I don't enjoy alcohol anymore. It's like if I drink wine, my nose immediately becomes congested. I get headaches and I don't enjoy the inflammation in my body. So I keep saying I don't drink, but on the odd occasion, maybe like 2 or 3 times a year, I will still have a drink. But since January, I haven't had alcohol and I don't actually miss it. So other than that, I did really good, like when we were doing like a breakfast fry up, which my husband loves, like bacon and fried eggs, and like we don't really eat oily foods, but like a breakfast fry up is his jam, and the oilier the bacon with like deep fried hash browns and all of those things, he enjoys that. I had like a boiled egg with avocado and whole wheat seeded loaf, and I would cut up like tomato and add some baby spinach and peppers to my breakfast. Where they were having plain white bread lathered with thick butter and a fried egg on top, and still have the avo and the bacon and the hash brown And I didn't really, I'd have like 1 or 2 rashers of bacon and I'd cut off the fat. Interestingly, just because my mother-in-law kept saying to me, is it like you're still trying to lose? Is that why you're kind of watching what you're eating? And to be honest, it wasn't because I'm still trying to lose. It was, I'm trying not to gain it back is the biggest thing. I'm trying to learn what maintenance looks like for me. I have no idea what that looks like. I've never in my life, in my whole life, have I been on a journey of I'd like to try and maintain my weight. I've only ever lived in I need to lose weight. I've always been on diet. So I don't know. So my answer to her was like, honestly, no, I'm not trying to lose more weight. I'm just trying to keep to what I know works for me at the moment. It works for me to not gain weight, A. And B, I don't have an appetite for fatty foods. I've been not having it for so long that, and I'm now, so for our listeners' sake, and we'll get into this, but I'm now on, last week was my last week on the medication, on Ozempic, on the lowest dose, because I tapered down to 0.25 in order to go off it completely. So last week, while we were on holiday, I had tapered right down to the 0.25 milligram dose. And so I think some of it was still the Ozempic that's probably putting me off of those oily foods, mm-hmm. because I haven't really, while I've been on Ozempic, haven't really been able to eat oily foods. That much. Not that we eat it as a rule, but sometimes a good, nice, crispy piece of bacon looks appetizing, you know? And sure. The idea of fatty food just, it makes me feel, I don't think I want to eat that. So that was quite interesting, or I noticed that and I was like, okay, this is interesting to me, because even on the lowest dose, I still feel this way. So now this week is my first week on no medication at all. We'll see how I go. But so far, so good. And I'm hoping, and look, so from what I understand from the doctors, it takes like 3 weeks to fully work, deplete out of your system. Right. So we'll talk again in 3 weeks' time. Maybe I'm a different Charlene and I'm like, give me all of the bacon. But for the most part, I think just habitually, I don't feel for those foods anymore. I still feel right. for chocolate, though.
Yeah. Chocolate's an outlier in that category, I think. So what have the last 2 weeks been like on the scale for you?
My weight recorded for our listeners was 72.4, and that was on the 30th of June. So this morning's weigh-in was 70.7. So that's a nice, 1.7 down in 2 weeks. And that, I think I'm still coming down because I was still on Ozempic last week. So now what will be interesting to see now is I've started calorie counting for me now, and I mm-hmm. decided that that's going to be just my strategy for like the next month, just until I get into, or even maybe the next 2 months, however long I might need to, just until I get into the mental habit of what amount of food equates to my maintenance calories, essentially. Because right. because I wasn't sure what my calorie intake should be in order to maintain this current weight. So I went onto the calorie calculator based on my activity level. So I put in an activity level of almost no physical activity. And the reason I did that on the calculator, on the app, was because I want to see on non-active days where I don't gym or I don't move my body at all, I want to see what is the worst case scenario for calorie intake on those days, so that I have a bit of a spectrum. So it was 1,424 is what maintenance calories look like if you do no physical activity whatsoever. So it's not very high. It's quite low. But then I have to tell you, my whole life, I've been obsessed about consuming not more than 1,200 calories, because that's where I needed to be to lose weight. Yeah. So I look at 1,400 calorie intake, I'm like, oh my God, this is a walk in the park. Wow. You know, if I'm not eating chocolates and whatever. So on days, if I was active, like working out three days a week, whether it's weight training or cardio, just some activity, then it's between 1,900 and 2,000 calories for my age, my height, and my current weight. So that gave me a bit of a spectrum. And so my plan, and this is just my personal way that because I don't know what a maintenance lifestyle looks like, I'm now in my mind trying to work out, okay, so technically the math says if I do zero activity and I only consume this amount of calories, I should stay the same. So if I then add my usual workouts that I do, that gives me a little bit more grace. And so I can kind of cycle my calorie intake around, okay, tomorrow I know I'm doing leg day and I'm going to need the energy in the gym. So I can kind of up my calories a little bit the day before so that the day in the gym I have the energy I need. And then also when you do weight training a couple of days, even a couple of hours and a day after that, your muscles are still kind of burning into that fat. So I'm kind of working on this formula. And so for the whole week, it was shit to be on holiday and to track calories. And I didn't do it very accurately. I just kind of roughly worked on a ballpark for myself. But I was between 1,300 and 1,600 calories each day on holiday. And I did like a home workout 2 days while we were on holiday. So I think the 1.7 decrease in my weight can be attributed to I was still mindful of what I was eating. I was choosing my foods wisely. I've also got an elective procedure, surgery coming up. So I'm trying to make mindful choices about things that I put into my body that will help my body heal after surgery. So the foods that I'm consuming are nutrient rich and are whole foods and that kind of thing. So that's kind of my strategy for now. And in total, I've lost 16.2 kilograms, which I think is just over 17% of my body weight from when I originally started.
Although that said, I think the stats of 17% is over the course of a year from that study.
Yes, so, and I've only been 6 months.
In half of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think also it how much you have to lose plays into that. So if I had like 60 kilograms to lose as opposed to the 80, I'd set out to lose 18.
Right.
Was my hope, 18. And I think where I am at the moment, I mean, if I could lose another 2 kilograms, I'd be happy. But for the most part, I just want to stay where I am now. I don't know how to do that, so I'm figuring it out.
Yeah, but that, I think it's a good start because I think it's a really good strategy to do a little bit of calorie counting in that transitional phase when you go off Ozempic and now you have to go on to maintenance. A, as you say, because you don't necessarily know what maintenance looks like. But B, because you'd want to keep a tight lock on it for at least a month until the habits are fully ingrained post-Ozempic. Because otherwise, like, there's nothing more terrifying than thinking, I'm going to pick up 10 kilos after I stop Ozempic. Like, the waste of money, the waste of effort and time and emotional labor and, like, terrifying.
And I've just realized how mentally dependent I have become on this medication. So I will say this. There's a lot of criticism or commentary going on out in the world and social media specifically on taking Ozempic is cheating and it's the easy way out and why don't you just eat healthy and go to the gym and watch your portion sizes and to an extent I can understand that mentality because technically what the medication's doing for you is it's forcing you, you don't have to think about doing those things, you're in autopilot, you cannot physically eat more than what your body can consume or what your body needs to burn. So it is portion control. It is all of those things. However, you still have to get up and go to the gym. You still have to get up and go do the work, you know, and you still have to be mindful about what you put in your mouth. And if you don't eat enough fiber, you're going to become constipated. If you don't consume enough water, so you still have to do all those things, even though you have the medication. However, it is such a safety net. To like you went away to Montague and you came back and you're like, okay, I wasn't very good, but you know what? Worst case scenario, I might be a couple of 100 grams up on the scale because of some inflammation or whatever, as opposed to kilograms, you know?
Yeah. I've literally gained and 5 kilograms become on a holiday once.
Oh, I gained 7. Okay, it was Mauritius and it was an all-inclusive buffet every goddamn day and alcohol. But it was, it was 7 kilograms in a week, 8 days. So I think that the dependence on that little safety net was like, I'm sure I'll be okay. I can have this bad thing and I'm sure I'll be okay. Whereas before, I never had that. It was just guilt, guilt, guilt. Then I get home, get on the scale. I'm like, you see, I knew it. Guilt, more shame, more self-hatred, yeah. Self-flagellation. It's just, it's a bad spiral. So what I'm really scared of for me now going off the medication is I need to change that mindset. I need to know that if I don't stay the course 100%, it's not worth hating yourself that much. Tomorrow's a new day. Just, you know what to do. Just do the work. So today was a write-off. It doesn't matter. Mm. Life is worth living. I have to find a way to give myself some grace. And it is what you do 80% of the time as opposed to 20% of the time.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So interesting. So I think that strategy of first of all, tapering, good. Calorie counting and keeping a lock so that you don't slip back, especially when you're now, when the molecule's less and less effective and you start like maybe hearing the food noise and all that stuff is good. Where I'm coming from right now is that I'm on 1 milligram, and I always find it interesting because some of the people in our community are, you know, doing 1.5 or 1.7 milligrams because they're doing on like Wegovy instead of Ozempic. And it's always seemed, I was always like, wow, that's a lot. Because I've always seen 1 as the max, when in fact it goes up to 2.4 or 2.5 with Wegovy.
Yes.
And at the end of yesterday, I kind of, on Sunday, you know, I have now felt the diminishing returns of even being on 1 milligram, where I do have more kind of unconscious, kind of grabby food, and I cheat a little bit, was cheating a little bit more on the weekend and all that. And two strategies that I'm trying this week are, number one, be boring. So I'm really just doing protein shake in the morning. I've got like a pack of small sirloin steaks, you know, individually kind of packaged, and I'm just going to have a steak and some veg for lunch, and then protein shake in the afternoon, and then dinner, and then like a piece of fruit in between, a snack or whatever it is. But try and like just do the same thing every day, be boring. And the other thing is, the wisdom is always take your Ozempic on Sunday night at nighttime before you go to bed, so that if you have nausea, you'll skip it, which is great. It's wonderful. Start the week afresh, all that. But Monday isn't the problem. Like Saturday and Sunday are the problem. So I almost feel like you should be taking it on Friday afternoon or Friday night before the weekend, so that that's when you're at your height of Ozempicness, so that you don't
on the weekend. And the temptations are there, but they won't faze you, because on the weekend is when it's harder, when you're not in your routine, when you're not in the gym, when you're being social, or relaxed. Yes.
Yeah. So maybe that is something we'll also mention in the groups. It's just like maybe reorientate that day to a Friday afternoon, like that's when you take your jab.
It's interesting you bring that up, because last week before, so we left last week Friday. No, not last week Friday. The week prior to last week Friday. So on the 4th of July, we left for our holiday. Okay. So I was on the Thursday when I was busy packing, I was saying to my husband, this is now supposed to be my last jab. And I'm supposed to take it on Sunday, but now I'm going to have to pack this medicine with ice packs to transport it so I can take it on Sunday, then leave it in the fridge there the whole week and bring it back, because there's still some left over, bring it back with ice packs just to keep it here in the fridge, because I won't be doing another jab anytime soon unless I desperately need it and I decide to go back onto it after my surgery. So I'm carting it literally there to give one small 0.25 milligram dose jab on the Sunday. Then I was like, maybe I should just leave it and go not take my jab this Sunday and go kind of cold turkey. But then I was like, okay, then I haven't done my tapering properly, A. And B, I'll be on holiday and there will be a ton of temptation and I will not have my old trusty safety net to help me this one last week. So then I decided, you know what, it's Thursday, I'm going to just jab tonight. I'm going to jab on the Thursday night instead of the Sunday night, jab my last 2.5 milligrams, let it carry me until next week Thursday. And if the cravings hit me on next week Thursday, so be it. I'll just have to get through the Friday before I get home from holiday, you know. And then it occurred to me, why haven't I been doing it on the Thursday or the Friday this whole time? Because the weekends are the most difficult to get through. I remember on a Saturday and a Sunday, I'm like, I want to just shove everything into my face. And that's when takeout is so readily available. And so I definitely think there is something to be said for, because when it's in full effect, 24 to 48 hours after the jab is when you need it the most.
Yeah. And it's also, it depends whether you get nausea and side effects that will then ruin your weekend. Like, we don't tend to have those side effects, so it's not an issue for me. So that's what I'm probably going to do is I'm actually going to, I mean, I took on Sunday on yesterday, but I'll probably wait until Friday and then take again because I've got like a good resistance to it now already. So I'll probably just take on Friday and then do that going forward. To get to the long overdue check-in, 3 weeks ago I was on 86.7 kilos and I'm now on 85.2 kilos. So that's 1.5 kilos, yeah, in 3 weeks, which is slow but steady. It's fine. A lot of up and down on the scale. I have just resigned myself. I just weigh myself every day now before I get in the shower. It's and it's less stressful as well because I've made progress, so it's not so much of an issue. But I do now want to take a little bit of a leap forward, so because 84 is like wedding weight, and then after that it's all gravy, so or lack of gravy. So I want to be boring this week so that I can have some proper progress in the next 2 weeks. But yeah, definitely feeling it's kind of like my body adapt to it. However, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go up. I'm just going to, there's a big psychological side to it. It definitely is doing some work, so it's fine. And my habits are more or less under control. So yeah, I think we're good to go for the next couple of weeks. It'll be very interesting to hear in 2 weeks from now, once the it's how completely out of your system, what your experience is. And then maybe we'll do, you know, Ozempic Diaries Season 3, Elective Surgery Diaries. Is that something you're planning on talking about in on the parenting show?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's funny because Sam, my co-host, and I, my co-host on the other show, we were discussing it just the other day because we did a body image episode years ago when we were both kind of, I was newly.
By the way, everyone. And that's the name of the show. We can say it if we're going to tout it.
That's true. I didn't want to exploit the space, but thank you, Jono, for the plug. So on The Great Equalizer, Sam and I discussed body image because obviously weight loss as women, you know, and as moms, for me, I say obviously, but weight loss and gain and body image has always been a thing that's been part of my life. And when it comes to motherhood, you're like, oh, are you going to bounce back to your pre-baby weight? And I was never really skinny before I had babies. I was overweight then also. So, but then there are many women who have beautiful figures that they're happy with, and then they have this baby and they're like, oh, in 6 weeks time you should be able to exercise again and bounce back and, you know, have the postpartum baby weight off, and if you breastfeed you lose the weight quicker, and there's all these theories. So we had a body image episode years ago, and with these recent developments, Sam and I have actually been discussing, I think it's time for a revised or a revisited body image episode. We're older now, where our children are older. We've implemented many different things in our lives, lifestyle changes from diet to exercise to, you know, and your needs and your goals change. And yeah, I'm comfortable with talking about, I'm having a boob job, yay! Plus also, I am not the type of person that can, it's something I've wanted to do my whole life. It's a very expensive, and people might judge you for, oh, it's so vain, whatever. People will have their opinions no matter what. But I'm not one to shy away from just being real about it. It's my choice. It's my body. It's what I wanted to do. And finally, I'm financially able to do it. And I desperately need it. I've breastfed two babies and I've lost a shit ton of weight. So the situation is dire.
Yeah. It's interesting. I know two other women, one who's now has had a boob job and very happy with it. Very subtle, like super subtle. Not like, you know, look at my big boobs at all. And then another who is still saving up for it and is also, both of them are lean women who, you know, probably have spent their whole lives wishing that they had bigger boobs.
Yes.
And yeah, I think it's like totally legitimate and interesting. And I hope you guys cover it. I think we should. I just consider the fact that 80-something% of our audience, dear listeners, are women. That you should, you know, Charlene, you let us know if you're going to cover it properly on your show, and then people could pop over there and listen on the Great Equalizer. I don't know, because I don't have any new projects planned. I can start taking like growth hormone or testosterone replacements, and then we can go on to the next season, but I don't have anything planned like that besides starting jujitsu. So, you know, it'll be a bit one-sided if I was just interviewing, and this is also strange, like, so tell me about your boob job, give me specifics.
So Charlene, tell me about your breasts.
I feel like Sam is better placed,
probably better, yeah, if two chicks talk about it.
Okay, well, we'll see how all that develops. We want to close off here before we hit the old 30-minute mark. So good luck for the next 2 weeks. We're still in holidays. You are going to be wrecked by the time that comes to an end. At least Ben is in play school. And we'll check in again in 2 weeks. Thanks everyone for joining and listening in.
Thanks, Jono. Good luck with the rest of your week, and I'll let you know how I survive if the food noise returns.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe that'll be the next episode's name, Return of the Food Noise. Cheers.
Cheers.